Such a big heart.
Splendid, David. So it's better.
Tectonics, yeah. Yeah, whatever. But yeah, after the last presentation, yeah, you proposed this, and I was also interested in investigating the tectonics. So yeah, I have been looking at the background somehow with these four theorists: Semper, Bertischer, Seckler, and Frampton. Then to get a framework to look into Atlas of Novel Tectonics proposed by Reiser and Umemeto. So yeah, I'll just start somewhere. So
Zimba wrote this style in 1851.
Yes, I could figure out, yeah. The four elements of architecture or something like that. Yeah, so the origin, the concept of tectonics, has been used in architectural theory for several centuries, and the word originates, as I see it, from Greek culture, where it has two meanings in architecture. It's the shaping and joining of form elements to a unity, and the theory of an inner structure of a work of art. And all these four theorists also suggest somehow a division of architecture into a concrete part and a more abstract part. So the concrete part being the construction, the method, and the materials, and the more abstract part being structure, concept, representation, ornament, and intensification. And Frampton refers to this abstract part as the poetics of construction. And Seckler speaks of it as the artistic tool of the architect, and Semper as the representational character of the material given by the craftsman, which gives the building its metamorphic character. And then Bertischer, I've been giving this headline, Tectonics and Ornament. So according to Bertischer, the symbolism of the ornament should never be allowed to obscure the fundamental structure of a building in order to reach true tectonics. The ornaments should rather underline and reveal the essence of the construction. So there's always a separation of the covering from the fundamental structure. And Semper speaks of it as the nature of materials. As a way to emphasize the bond between form, material, and manufacturing, Semper associates the four elements of his theory with the four industries. As you can read, and architecture as matter that has its fundamental factors in the material and the tools. But they cannot work alone. Climate, place, as well as religious, social, and political circumstances are also crucial to the shape of an architectural artifact. And Semper's main idea is that each architectural element has a specific character due to the structural function of the element. And Seckler, the tectonics as intensification, and he distinguished between structure and construction. Structure as the overall principle of a building's bearing of loads, and construction as the concrete realization of the principles. And then the tectonics as a visual result of the play between construction and structure that will affect us when seeing and experiencing a piece of architecture. Tectonics as the tool which makes it possible for the architect to act as an artist and give the observer an intensified experience of the building as an interaction between forces and forms. And lastly, we have Frampton and the joint. He sees tectonics arising from both a clear structure, which shows the overall constructional logic of the building, and then from a well-articulated details, which reflect the transfer of loads through the joints. And then the tectonics is by Frampton considered a way to express or reveal the true essence of making, building. And the joint, in that sense, becomes the center of attention as it articulates the meeting of materials and types of structural elements. Yeah, and you can, yeah, and in short, you could say that tectonics is the interaction between material and the type of construction and the communication of the chosen structure. As I read it. And then this novel, Tectonics. I found these statements from the book, most of them in the end, actually. I can read the first one. In a society within everything has been reduced to a media-driven representation, the only thing left to believe is in physical pain. Pain is the only thing that is real and the only medium through which to exercise free will. Return of material effects in architecture parallels this thirst for the real. We advocate neither a material realism nor a return to phenomenology, nor a pop representational use of materials that hysterically celebrates the simulacrum. Rather, we are looking paradoxically at greater levels of artifice, like puts and calls for matter. I'm not quite sure how to read this, but as I understand it, their background for reading or for writing this is somehow that they want to propagate designs that don't have one truth. They only have multiplicity or ambiguity. And then I have these statements, and what I gain from them is that the persistence of architecture have given us a pleasure because of the other developments that goes on within it, and this in turn make a new history. As I understand this, there's no reason to look at history for the essence of things, opposed to the earlier theorists that was looking into what was the essence. So what's of the interest is to create a new theory, or a new history, sorry. They speak about matter and energy as the precondition for architecture. Not as a universe defined by a fixed field and unchanged essences, but instead a matter field that is defined locally only and in and through its own interactions. So, as I understand it, they look upon matter or materials as having no honesty or true implementation, as I also said. It's up to the designer to select what properties of the material to use for the expression. And maybe this especially applies to new materials, which has no history of use or representation. And this is in a way different from the other theories that tries to find an essence of materials and construction. However, they are still trying to liberate the knowledge embedded within the material. So they're still looking to somehow an essence, but it's not one truth. I think I'll read this. Architecture thus is no longer the broadening and silent witness to the flux of tempo, but is as much matter and structure as it is atmosphere and effects. We've gone from seeing the temporal work in contrast to permanent architecture to seeing the temporal entering into the very fabric of architecture itself, rendering it ambient. And this is partly in line with the other theorists that suggest this division of architecture into a concrete and more abstract part. However, the difference is maybe that the earlier theorists looked at the abstract part as something inherent in the design, whereas Reiser and Umieto sees it as something that can perform to changing needs, as I read it. Yeah, and this is also expressed through these statements. Yeah. I don't want to read them all, but yeah, we are not denying the existence of a universal space. We are suggesting that the universal is not coordinates without qualities, but rather a material field of ubiquitous differences. And we would postulate an and argument, neither pure classical models, nor pure structural honesty, nor pure computational formalism, implying a more open-ended process. And then there are some further questions that they also state in their book. That could be investigated in the next step, was to taking the specific problematics as a starting point. How does one produce multiplicity in formal arrangement? How does one produce multiplicity in structure? And how does one produce multiplicity in function? That's it.